possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome back to another The Home episode of The Podcast. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
There you go. Figure I'll introduce myself for a change and meet Ted Smith. All right. In the bottom square, repping Boston College tonight. You guys want to hit a Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Go Eagles, baby. You know, speaking of creatures, this week we've begun a new year, Chinese New Year, the year of the tiger. So that's that energy I'm coming into with. Let's go.
All right, up there in the top square, looking classy AF tonight in his polo, Matt Connor, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Thank you for getting that right, Ted. I appreciate your awareness.
Look, so, and I don't know if Matt's going to leave it in. Kyle's like, oh, you're wearing a black V-neck. He's like, it's a polo. And I'm like, in our defense, it's hard to tell from Zoom angles.
Yeah, yeah, and it's all black. The collar's black too. It does look quite a bit like a V-neck, but yeah.
Well, and honestly, I've never heard someone be so offended mistaking a polo for a tee.
Well, it's a whole thing.
I feel like there's something tied up in that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm down in Palm Springs, you know, I'm training golfers, and you know, I'm walking the walk, looking the part. And so I've been rocking the polo game pretty strong down here. And, you know, I guess it was, you know, just my own, growth and just, you know, being brought back to a place where I didn't wear polos as much, you know, and I was just wearing t-shirts and cutoffs and sweatpants all year round. now I'm down here. I tuck my polo into my golf pants. My belt buckle helps people understand how to keep their pelvis level, and it's a great thing. So yeah, I'm just trying to live up the polo life down here in the land of plenty of polos.
I'll tell you what, Matt, the algorithm has figured out what you do for a living, because my Instagram now, like, every like fourth one is some dude that's like, want to be in better golf shape, like, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, I don't even golf.
All right, you could tag me in some of those. It'd be great. I'm always looking for new accounts on the golf fitness front to link up with. But yeah, that's
all right. I didn't know.
I get those all the time.
Yeah, I almost did. And I was like, does Matt like this guy or does Matt hate this guy? He's taking his thing.
Yeah, no. I have no social media presence about golf fitness. I have clientele for it, but I'm not worried about the social media angle at the moment. But I linked up with a guy in Australia, just sent him a message, and I didn't realize he was from Australia, but I called him mate I was like, what's up, mate? Appreciate your content. It's really helpful. Thank you. And then later I realized he was from Australia. I was like, oh man, I wasn't trying to be like you know, over the top with that one.
No, man. Mate is good. I lived in Australia. You're fine with mate. That's like dude or whatever else. I was going to say, have you guys, Ted, do you remember the movie Dodgeball?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously Matt, we knew Matt when he was wearing sweat shorts and cut off t-shirts every day, sort of the everyman's trainer, right? Well, now obviously he's working at a very, very exclusive golf resort as one of their trainers. We got the black polo. There's people who can't see who are listening, but he's got like blue light on his face, headphones in, and he literally looks like he's about to go, "At Globo Gym, we're better than you, and we know it."
Yeah, and like, and he's like sitting in like a nice big, like comfy chair. I mean, I feel like he's about
exactly an armchair.
Yeah, exactly. He's be like, "Seriously, can I interest you guys in a polo NFT?" Like, what?
Yeah, totally. Like, I just suddenly feel physically inadequate, you know? I'm like, God, I got to bump up my body. Jesus.
That's the only, like, ripped dude you know that wears black to be slimming.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, man. That's pretty good. You do look false. I mean, you look like the false right now.
That's really funny. I should. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a knock.
I like the idea of getting into the NFT game with my polos. I feel like now I can crack into that world. I look the part.
Well, feeling totally. Too, when you said mate, like you didn't mean to do it, but like I do it all the time. Like I do it. Like if I mean, even just with Rowan, right? Like if I start hanging out with him, I'll start like throwing out terms I don't generally use, like mate or whatever, or like, I don't, you know, it's hard. Like,
or the C word.
I don't need Liam.
Popular one.
Actually, that's a lie. We were saying that the other night when we were all having a drink, weren't we? But I mean, I do it all the time. Like when I go back east, like I'll slip into the way I used to talk or whatever. So I think it's just like when I was in England, like after the second day, like you pick up on the lexicon, you start using it.
Dude, I dropped an A Dude. On a Canadian the other day.
Nice. I
didn't even mean to. Ted, it just speaking came of out.
The, hang on. Sorry.
That was it.
Ted, speaking of the lexicon, can I tell you about the greatest burn I've ever had? Like the most effective?
All right.
Okay, so when I was living in Australia, they have a certain way with words. And obviously I was like kind of, you know, adopting, so I've been on it for 6 months. We were at this warehouse party all night and I came out in the morning and it's like, you know, 7 a.m. I'm walking home. I'm with AC, our buddy, and I go down an alley and I have to take a leak. So I'm taking a leak and it's like sort of a, you know, it's like a Wallingford, like kind of a nicer neighborhood, but not crazy nice. I'm taking a leak and this woman goes running by. She's probably like a 48-year-old Karen. And she's running with her dog, stops, looks at me like all dramatic, like, oh. And I just turned and like without breaking, like didn't even stop pissing. I was like, oh, come off it, you old bag.
Yeah.
And it just crushed her. Dude, it could not have hit harder. Like her whole face drained of life. And she just, you could tell she was out there like trying to look young, feeling it. And I don't know what possessed me to say it. I just had no filter. And dude, it ruined that woman. I don't know where she is or if she's still around. But God, it was honestly the most timely, like best burn I've ever had in my life. So anyway, and I don't know who calls people old bags, but in Australia, I feel like it's just a hitter.
Oh yeah, you've told me that story before. I love that term. I'm always waiting to drop it on somebody.
Dude, it's devastating. Devastating. That's the atom bomb for older women.
I will say the best, like, not intentional burn I had was at the Florida Georgia game, and I mean we've been tailgating all day. So I'm feeling no pain. We're hanging out with our new friends, Malt Liquor Mike and the other guy. And like this couple walks by and they're wearing Rutgers, like sweatshirts. And I mean, I barely remember this. Somebody told me the story and they go, you just stop them, point at them and go, are you guys really Rutgers fans? Like football fans? And they're like, oh yeah. And they're like all excited. And they're like, you just laughed at them. Like, Rutgers football fans, huh? all right. Man, you know what? I was going to start with some Olympic stuff, But let's get into this. Have you heard about the newest rivalry out there right now?
Newest rivalry. God, rock, that could mean anything.
Think rock music. Cobb, you won't know. I never know what you're looking at. I probably it's not on Reddit.
Yeah, exactly.
The newest, no.
All right. So a couple weeks ago, Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam is giving an interview to like Esquire or somebody. And he's talking about like hair metal. And he's like, yeah, like girls, 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 Motley Crue. Like, I hated all that shit. Right. And I get his point. He was trying to say, like, I like the idea of women could come to our shows and, like, you know, like wear boots and jeans. They weren't just like objects of affection as they were in like hair metal. Right. So that was his point. But still, it kind of sounded like he was shitting on hair metal. So then Nikki Six of Motley Crue comes out and was like, well, he's part of the most popular, boring bands of all time. So I'll take that as a compliment.
Wow. Shots fired.
Vedder comes back over the top like a night ago or two nights ago and was ripping on how Motley Crue always has to have like a drum kit that's like flying in the air and this and that. He's like, look, just play the drums. So like I get both sides, but also I feel like, I mean, they're two different genres. The grunge music did end like the hair metal, and I'm not a huge hair metal guy, but I'm like, I like Motley Crue. I also really love Pearl Jam. Like, can I like both?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Pearl Jam / Nirvana kind of ended the era, you know, like grunge definitely ended the hair metal era. And after reading Nikki Sixx's book, I mean, they definitely partied harder and seemed insane by comparison. So I feel like, you know, I feel like Nikki Sixx is going to win this one. If they go to the mat, if they keep exchanging blows, what do you think, Matt? You know way more about rock than me.
Yeah, I mean, like Ted said, it's really two totally different genres, especially with the way Pearl Jam's evolved. And, you know, I like Motley Crue and I like loud, more upbeat stuff. Therefore, like, I get the whole like Pearl Jam's become a bit boring over the years angle. And that's a ballsy claim. They're still like the biggest band in the world. But that's yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to go to a war of the words with Nikki Sixx. I feel like that's his domain. And like, yeah, it'll be interesting, but it really does seem like apples and oranges to me. It's hilarious. And yeah, I love both bands, but I just have a lot of respect for, you know, the way they've both aged, honestly. But they've done it in two entirely different ways. Like, Motley Crue managed to stay Motley Crue, even though they're like mostly sober now, like, or, you know, it's like they're still just those wild ass dudes. And like, you know, but they're still around. And like, Saints of Los Angeles wasn't that long ago. That was like one of my favorite songs by them. And like, what was the other one that they put out? Sick Love Song in like the early 2000s. Like, Motley Crue's had some bangers this millennium. And like, at least to me. But I don't know that those were like hits. But Pearl Jam, as you know, also just age gotten more and more popular. They've gone through plenty of different phases and done them all well, even if they're not all my styles. It's like, I mean, this is good, right? Like, I get why they're selling out stadiums everywhere they go. So they've both aged pretty well, I would say, just very differently. And yeah, this feud has got Motley Crue written all over it.
Yeah, like, I get Vedder's point. I guess it just would be different to me if you picked on, like, if you called out, like, I don't know, like Rat or like Poison. But I'm like, Motley Crue to me kind of was like at the beginning of it and like survived it. Like, that just seemed like the wrong band. Now, I get his point about like objectifying women and the grunge scene was different. Like, women could matter. They didn't just have to be hot. I'm like, all right. Like, I get his point, but I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, Motley Crue to me is not like the quintessential like bad part of hair metal. They were just wild. And also, like, they were on the Sunset Strip.
They were the kings
of it. As opposed to Nirvana and Pearl Jam, God, who am I forgetting?
Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, yeah.
Soundgarden. I'm like, they're up here where it's pissing, where it's you know, it's nasty. It's not very weather awesome for, what, 8 months out of the year, 9 months sometimes.
And Seattle back then was a fun town. I mean, you guys have a lot of dogs and, like, co-working spaces and, like, new office designs, but like Seattle back in the day, like there was a little bit of pride about the grittiness of it.
Definitely. Yeah, it was a gritty city. Have either of you guys tangentially related seen Pam and Tommy?
I have not.
Wow. It's a docu-series, I guess, docudrama about the sex tape getting stolen. And I didn't realize that it was a contractor who wasn't paid, and he went in and took Tommy's safe, and the sex tape was in there. Wow. Pretty crazy ride so far.
Yeah, like I knew it was stolen. I didn't know the story behind it. I mean, but yeah, it is crazy that like that tape became so popular. But also Pamela Anderson, I mean, come on. Like I saw a picture of her the other day, like still in 100%.
Oh yeah. And that guy, he was like a contractor. I think he made 70 something million off of it. Like pretty wild. Massive. And like that was the first sex tape, right? I feel like that started a genre, you know?
Oh, for sure. Because then people kind of started putting out sex tapes. Which
Then it got good.
For the record, I just have to say this. I saw the Ray J and Kim Kardashian one, and it is awful. Unless you want to see Ray J's penis, do not watch that. Like it's just like all the video angles. I'm just like, Ray J, you're killing me, dude. Like, we wanted to see this Kim Kardashian hot chick, and it's a lot of penis.
Wow. All right. Well, I mean, did you sit through the whole thing?
Yeah, I skipped around the scenes. It used to be, Matt, I don't know if you remember this, like the companies used to just send porno videos to the station.
Oh, so like, really?
Oh, yeah. So that's why I had, like, I had that one. I had Who's Nailing Palin. Lisa Ann with Sarah Palin. Like there was a whole bunch of them, right? Like, and they used to come in and like would do like in studio stuff and would like come in and do interviews. So like yeah, like somehow the Ray J and Kim Kardashian one showed up, and I was like, oh man, like I can't wait to see this one.
Ted, the thing I love about that the most is that in the professional office environment where you go to work, word has circulated. People know you well enough that it comes in the mail and they're like, you know what? Like an intern goes to throw it out and they're like, no. Put it on Ted's desk. He'll take care of it. It's just like how notorious of a bachelor are you that, you know, you're like the secretary, the boss, whoever is just like, yeah, just throw that VHS on Ted's. It'll disappear.
Dude, I wish it was something that cool. But honestly, it was just Vivint would just send like 3 or 4 copies of everything.
Wow. Yeah. So everybody takes one home?
Well, yeah, I'll leave other names out of it, but put it to you this way. I was the only person on our show that ever took them.
That's what I'm saying. Reputation.
Right? So I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch this one. Of course I am.
It's like, he went to the Bunny Ranch. He's in.
I felt like retroactive guilt on the Pam and Tommy one. Like, I read Tommy Lee's book later in life, and the way he talked about it, and like at the time I was young, I didn't know any backstory. I thought he was just like, yeah, I'm the drummer of Motley Crue, I'm hung like a horse, I'm banging Pam Anderson, and it was just like a massive flex on everybody on his part. And I was like, this is awesome, this is rock and roll, and like it was amazing. And then like later I read his book and he was like so broken up about it and felt so bad and like all this stuff, and like he's saying it was a misunderstanding with the contractor, and he was definitely like planning to pay him, and like it got way too out of hand way too quick, and never would have guessed that many people would have seen it even then. And it was like this whole wild thing. And I was like, damn, man, like I had some good time. It was simpler in the 90s. I didn't need all this.
I had a buddy, his company did work for an NFL player. And he'd always be like, dude, that guy never pays me, right? But the dude lived and then played in a different town. So So finally, one day, he like runs into him and is like, "Hey, man, like, look, I can't do any more work at your place unless you pay us." And the guy's like, "Nobody's paid you?" Like, "Oh my God, my bad." So like, Tommy Lee probably just like just didn't pay him, but not like he didn't have the money or was stiffing him.
Right. Right. Wow. It was, yeah, the whole thing just spiraled out of control. And yeah, it was a weird thing to read about. I was like, man, I had some good times and like just a totally different perspective on the situation back then.
All right. Did you
crack down?
Did you see what, speaking of sex tapes, did you see what happened today to Nelly?
Nelly?
No. What happened?
Nelly uploaded a video of some girl going down on him to his Instagram by mistake.
What?
Right. Love it. Nice.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean it even floated over to Twitter. That's why I just saw, I was like, it was damn Nelly, and it was trending. I was like, what's this about? And I was like, oh, damn, Nelly? Like he's putting in work on you.
Wow. You can find me in St. Louis. Way. Dang, man, I haven't heard or thought of Nelly in a long time, but
that's a
man,
great
he had
Nelly
some
reference.
Bangers back in the day. That album was great.
Oh yeah. He had two solid albums back to back there, man.
Yeah.
Right? I'm trying to think. I can't remember the first.
Speaking of solid albums, do you think all the crazy stuff that's going on in Kanye's life right now, is it possible we get another great album out of Kanye?
Man, I don't know. To be honest with you, I haven't been the biggest fan of his last few things. I'm just like,
I'm with you. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. Now, with that said, I mean, to his credit, like the numbers he makes from like his shoes and stuff is crazy. So like he's got so much going on. Like, I don't even know. Like, it's not like I listened to his last album, so I can't really say too much. I don't know. I'm good with Mr. West. And trust me, like, College Dropout is one of my favorite albums of all time. I mean, I love the dude. I saw him at the 930 Club. He was amazing. Wow.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's like, how could you be so heartless? You know, how could you be so Dr. Evil? And so I'm like, okay, maybe now, like this crazy situation, we get back to like, you know, make Kanye 2006 again or whatever that hat was that Pete Davidson was wearing. Like, maybe we get one more great album out of the guy. I don't know. Just hopeful, you know?
Yeah,
you're the tiger. That's all I'm saying.
It's always tough when you get later in your career to make the same good music.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's why I have a lot of respect for artists who have done it over and over again. Like, you know, I don't personally love her music, but like Madonna reinventing herself so many times, Michael Jackson having so many hits over his career, and even like Taylor Swift, you know, like it's got to be tough to like sustain. I feel like it's easier to get to the top than it is to stay there.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, what's the old saying, right? You have your whole life to write your first album, and then you have like a year to make that second one.
You're busy that year. You're real busy.
Yep. Kid Cudi,
and you're
man.
Being told you're amazing. So,
yeah. Man on the moon.
Yeah, we need this now.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's not how my music works.
I think self-doubt's an integral part of the process.
Yeah.
Pain, mull suffering. It over for a decade.
All right. We'll talk Olympics next week. Real quick before we take our first break. Super Bowl Sunday coming up this week. I'm going to a get together where there's multiple people making chicken wings. So let's take wings out of it, right? Wings are wings. Is there another staple you think that says Super Bowl?
Wait, are you thinking about what you should bring or is this a general question?
No. I'm saying like, I feel like every party's going to have some type of chicken wing, right? I'm just making dips. I'm staying out of the wing contest. I'm just there to eat and judge. Mainly.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I was going to say like, dude, your dips are known far and wide at this point. There's a whole season dedicated to them. Like you got to play your game. You know what I'm saying? You got to be you. Wait, you're saying, what, classic foods for a Super Bowl party?
Also, when I'm judging chicken wings, I'm judging people. So I'll be like, the wing is delicious, crispy. Your life's a mess, though.
Yeah.
I can taste it.
This wing's a little bit dry, like that. Go get yourself a boyfriend, girl. Let's go. The year of the tiger. Damn.
We need something like a ranch for your personality, because the ranch is really helping out the swing.
Yeah, dude, exactly. God, for Staples, man, I hate to say it, but I actually feel like Lay's kind of owns the Super Bowl. Like, I feel like I see a lot of Lay's products and Pepsi and stuff, you know, but God, for good Super Bowl, you know, all right, people, you guys might laugh at me just like you laughed at the Costco hot dog, but what I'll say about this, Ted's just shaking his head in disgust. I lost so much
street credit. Here we go. Listen up, Will.
I lost so much street credit with Ted's East Coast crew. I'm surprised his brother even texted me when he's coming to Austin. You know, I had a reputation. 7 years, I've built it up. One comment, destroyed. No, what I was going to say is, okay, people always make fun of this appetizer when I bring it places, but it's always the first thing gone. I think publicly, people aren't allowed to say that they love it, okay? But she always goes first, and that's, Ted probably already knows what I'm going to say, but Little Smokies wrapped inside a croissant, pigs in a blanket.
Oh, yeah, classic. I feel like
that's one of the top dogs. Dippable hot dogs, basically.
I guess what I'm asking is, like, I feel like if you come over to watch football, right? Like, you guys have been over. Matt, you and Jeremy came over once, right? And I was just like, oh, like, let's watch a game. I got a pot of chili on. But mm-hmm. I feel like Super Bowl is more specific. Like, you got to have wings. You know, like, I wouldn't invite people over for Super Bowl and just make chili.
Right. No. Yeah. I mean, it kind of depends on... I mean, that's the one thing that I find is interesting is, like, I feel like people can go any direction with it that they want, you know, like a lot of people do potlucks and you kind of get some staples and, you know, the veggie trays and the pizza and the variety platters. But like people do it like, you know, with a theme where it's like I've been to, you know, tacos, Super Bowl parties and, you know, so it can really, you know, depend on the crew. But I always, you know, Cobb, you mentioned it with Lay's. I think Ruffles is a Frito-Lay brand, right? Yeah. Yep. So Cobb, I was ready to jump on Ruffles. You covered it with the Lay's family. They're a part of it, but with the French onion dip, like, yeah, that's my go-to.
Ruffles, right. And French onion dip. Those are my big three. For whatever else you have is awesome, but you got to have a chicken wing, pizza and some Ruffles. Which
I feel like pizza is the non-traditional one in that. Would you allow substitutes? Like, let's say, for instance, a bagel bite or a pizza roll, or it's got to be like, you know, a slice of pie.
If they're homemade, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah. I mean, I think I'm fine with that. Homemade bagel or pizza roll would be tough. But yeah,
dude, also, thank you, Ted. Yeah.
I think it also varies a lot by age, right? Like at 41, like the people I hang out with, like there's some different stuff. But like, you know what I mean? If you're a bunch of dudes and you're 21, 22, like, yeah, get some chips, get some beer, some soda, and fire up those pizza rolls. Get that big
bag. Who is skilled enough in the kitchen, but also like juvenile enough to be homemaking bagel bites? That's my question.
First of all, where are you acquiring mini bagels?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to have the sources. You got to put the time in. But then, like, after all that, you're like, yeah, I kind of want to just end up with, like, a Safeway freezer product.
That's what I'm saying. The Super Bowl is where you pull out those kinds of stops. It's a holiday.
I respect that. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean... I feel like homemade bagel bites a lot easier than a homemade pizza roll.
Look, I didn't say I'd be making them. Just saying I'd like to go to a Super Bowl party with some homemade pizza rolls. Someone else can figure it out. It's called delegating.
All right. And then I'll just ask you guys this on the cast. I'm staying away from making anything else besides dips. Does it take down my like level of dipness if I make a like shitty version of a dip too?
I don't think I understand the question. You're talking about making two of the same dip and one of the versions is good and one's shitty?
No, like usually I make spinach dip, a sausage dip, which will be made. Like there'll be onion dip, but then I was thinking about going old school and just putting Velveeta and chili in a can of chili together. Just being like, this might not be bad, but that's kind of like a cheaper, easier dip. Does it lower my standing in the dip culture?
No, I don't think it hurts your reputation at all. Matt,
not at the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is a time of excess. I mean, who are we kidding?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's your last game of the season, Ted. It's your last hurrah, your final time to shine. I feel like you pull out all the trick plays, all the stops. There's nothing left in the playbook at that point. I think anything flies for Super Bowl weekend, personally.
Nice. All right. Looks like I got some fucking to do. All right, let's take a break right here, and we'll be back with emails. What's Matt in the Cop Talk? All right, welcome back. Thank you to our sponsors. That's all I got. But they're out there doing it. All right, Mr. Cobb, we got some emails.
Oh, yeah, baby. Okay, let's see. I always try to kind of group them, but it's tough to tell. We're going to start with Harlem Globetrotters.
All right.
My youngest at her sister's basketball game this week for Jersey night. Cobb and Matt, you've missed out. Find the nearest Globetrotter game ASAP. And it looks like maybe she sent us a video, or is this a tweet? Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so she's wearing a Harlem Globetrotters jersey. It looks like maybe at On Alaska, and they have a ton of like cool awards instead of the background. That's rad.
Oh, dang.
Okay, cool.
Gotta be from Dom, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many On Alaska the podcast fans we have, but I was like, I know she's down there.
I mean, yeah, she could be telling friends down there.
Yeah. I still
use the greatest podcast. Oh, sorry.
To say, I also still use my squatty potties.
Thank you.
To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I used to work at Safeco Field off and on from 2008 to 2015. I was there during the six pitcher no hitter, Felix Hernandez's perfect game, both in 2012, and Iwakuma no hitter 2015. I should also mention that I didn't know any of these milestones were going on because, like a good employee, I was working during the game. And I didn't know about the multi-pitch no-hitter until the next day, also during Felix's game. I didn't know that was going on until the top of the ninth while doing inventory. And during Iwakuma's game, I was wondering why everyone was going nuts after he struck out the last batter, only to turn around and look at the scoreboard and see it say, E1-0-0. Those have been the only milestones I've ever sort of witnessed. As for the best concert I ever went to, that's a tough one. Two that stand out are the Foo Fighters doing an acoustic show at the Paramount in 2005 and sitting two seats down next to Ricker, which I so badly wanted to yell Slayer, but didn't because I didn't want to embarrass my friend. And I didn't want Ricker to think I was an a-hole. The other one is seeing Jimmy Page and Robert Plant in 1998. You can't deny seeing half of Led Zeppelin. No, this wasn't necessarily the Cop Topic, but I wanted to share. Thanks. Stevie, the Packers fan.
Oh, nice. I mean, those are pretty legit shows you went to.
Yeah.
I mean, the Foo Fighters at Showbox Market is probably one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Oh, I love Showbox Market. Honestly, I feel like the band doesn't need to be very good. For when someone invites me, if it's Market, I usually go. But if it's Soto, a bit more of a pull is needed.
Fair.
Why did the bike fall over? Because it was too tired. Hey, boys, how's everyone at the greatest podcast in all the land?
All the land.
MCTP topic response. The worst as seen on TV product I bought was the Fushigi. I thought it was a magic fall that stuck to your hand. Nope, just a glass ball I bought for $30. The best? Easy. The slap chop. Why? Because you're going to love my nuts. It was from the commercial. I'm not a creep. Cop topic response. I want either a McDouble that comes with fries on the burger. I do that every time I eat them, and they are fire. Also, I want a banana dipped in that chocolate that hardens. I bet it would be the best. Take care, boys. Jaden. I'm at the tippy top, and I'm only halfway there.
Yeah. chocolate covered banana is pretty strong.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a great drink Saturday night in Burien. Oh man. I gotta look up what it was. What's that place called? Fo Lu. They have a drink called the Banana Gorilla. Yeah, it's like frozen. There's whipped cream involved. Like, I was in there like 8:30, 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. It was jumping off, man. It was fun.
Also, I love that.
It was funny, too. I met a couple people that were, you know, a couple of Mention listeners, and they're like, what are you doing here in Burien? I'm like, my buddy Sean lives in Burien.
That's it. That's the story.
That's hilarious.
And trust me, if you get one of those banana gorillas, get one. You can have a beer or something afterwards, but you like they taste so good, but man, that thing put me on my lips.
Dude, it's totally unrelated, but since you mentioned Boston College earlier, when I was in school, there was this bar near campus and they had this thing called the Budzilla. And they always say that they're like, only get one. And of course, like being a college kid, you want to get like three of them. But it's like a thing you would have when they bring it out. It's like a thing you would have at the end of like a football bench for like dispensing water, except it's full of Budweiser. I don't know what it's called, but it's like a huge, like almost like an in-office water cooler full of Bud Light. And it's called the Budzilla. I don't know why, but only order one.
Like a beer tower.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With like a little tap on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sports talk. So the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Fellas, I was just re-listening to the last few weeks' cast and had to just say that I have to agree with Ted about the Harlem Globetrotters being a staple as a kid. I had gone a few times as a kid, young teen, and I see it along the same line as going to the circus. The Beastquake game was dope. That was the first game I got to take my son to. Memories. Yep, I was at that too. It was awesome. 95 Mariners and the Edgar hit. I was in high school and we were doing a fundraiser for the senior class trip during that series. So I got to be there for that moment too. Probably my most favorite of all because I am such a huge Mariners fan. Junior was my idol as a kid. Thanks for the nostalgia trip, boys. And as always, thank you for being so consistent in giving us what we need every week. Much appreciated. Chancey Wilkins.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he tweets at me all the time. I mean, look, even my cousin, like I've had a couple cousins like, do you really like the Globetrotters? I'm like, highly recommend. Again, 10 out of 10, would recommend.
Dude, so remember when we were talking about like attainable dream cars or something like that? Like,
yeah.
Humble dream car town. All right, this one's good. Hey, guys, I grew up in a car enthusiast household, and my dream car is the humble first-generation 4Runner. It's got a removable top and kicks ass. The only problem is they're either beat or expensive.
Yeah, that makes sense because it's the first generation. So, like, that's a lot of upkeep on that thing.
Yeah. Dude, those things are really cool. I love – one of my friends had one of those with the pop-off top in the back. And, like, having the little, like – I don't know. Just having, like, the mix of, like, a truck and an SUV, pretty cool. Plus, those things, like, can handle some crazy terrain.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it's funny now as we're kind of just so used to SUVs, right? Like the minivan's kind of gone away. I feel like most most moms now have an SUV. But yeah, like, I mean, when I was a teenager, like SUVs were like so cool. It's like, what is this? It's not really a truck, but it's not a car. It's not a Jeep. This is phenomenal.
Yeah. And the 4Runner, I feel like, was just like a truck with four seats. You know what I mean? Like they just like bolted in two extra seats and threw on a top, you know, like those early ones. It's like a plastic top on like a metal base, man. Those things, yeah, they're hardcore. Gentlemen, congratulations to Cobb for his victory in the war zone.
War zone.
War zone. Thank you, Carson. You know, actually, Carson, at the house that I'm staying at with my girlfriend's parents, they have like a little guest book thing that they kind of have you like sign and write your favorite memories. And they were asking me to sign, and I was like, why? I'm only going to put one word with four exclamation points. And they're like, what's that? And I was at dinner tonight, and I just go, war zone!
That's pretty good.
Now, to be lamely lawyerly and parental, don't ever mount a camera on one's ski helmet. Even wearing a helmet, Michael Schumacher has been in a coma for years after hitting his head on a rock while skiing, because his helmet had a camera. Helmets are designed to distribute impact across their entire structure, but installing a camera mount focuses the force of the impact, significantly reducing protection. It's worse if the mount is screwed into place rather than using adhesive, but it still should be avoided regardless. If you want to film a run, go for a chest rig. Or live in the moment, just take a still picture like Cobb did. That is all. Carson, the lawyer. That's actually great advice.
Man.
Yeah, I didn't think it would affect the helmet. Yeah, that Schumacher stuff's tough. I mean, the best F1 racer of all time.
That totally makes sense because it's essentially like, you know, like a spear hitting you instead of like a blunt force. Yeah, Carson, yeah. Dude, damn, good call. I'm actually going to, I feel like I might have to become like an advocate of that when I see people, because people put them like right on the top of their helmet. And I actually, you know, unrelated, but I crashed today. Luckily, I was into some soft powder.
How fast are you?
No, dude, I was bombing through these like this crazy set of trees, and we haven't had snow here in a month, so everything is really skied out, which just basically means there's huge moguls everywhere, big dips and stuff. And I made this really tight turn around a tree, came around a corner hot, and my weight kind of just went over the top and just right into like a powder snowbank. Like it's the only powder left on the mountain, and I somehow managed to hit it, but I went in like head first with both hands out and just totally like total yard sale. And then of course my girlfriend came skiing up right behind me. But I was laughing. It was a good time. Tough bid though, boys. Honestly. Tough bid. That's it.
Oh, is that it? All right. I guess I can't count it anymore. I'm like trying to mark them off. Like, I got lost in there. All right, well, let's check in with what's mattening.
Before we get to what's mattening,
what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out with what's mattening.
What's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's mattening,
what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out with what's mattening.
All right. It's been a cool week. This weekend was fun. Was that Saturday or Sunday we did all that stuff? Sunday was an action-packed day. We went and did a hike. There was actually a creek and a waterfall throughout the whole thing, which is, you just don't see a lot of natural water out here. So that was pretty cool. And it's all just like golf course fountains. So it's nice to see a real waterfall. But it's cool. It's like a little like 2 mile loop or something, you know, really, really easy hike. And it's 5 minutes from downtown. I mean, we were brunching 10 minutes after our hike, Ted. You would have loved it. And like a brunch spot. And we were on the strip where we had to choose where we wanted to brunch because there was like a bounty of brunch options. So we chose where we wanted the brunch 10 minutes after finishing a hike. Like, phenomenal experience, first of all. Okay.
Yeah, and there's no NFL on Sundays. We're getting into brunch season.
Yeah. It was a half hour after we hiked. I forgot we stopped at the 420 bank when we got there. So
get hungry.
Yeah. So we were at the 420 bank 10 minutes after our hike. And we were at brunch 20 minutes later. Let me tell you. So it was fantastic. I got Eggs Benedict with it was bangers and rings. So it was a cheddar, some sort of sausage with cheddar in it, which I mean, right. And onion rings on top.
On the Benny?
On the Benny.
That's got to be good.
And then hollandaise and a poached egg. It was the best Benny I've ever had. I mean, I didn't know you could get that wild with Benny's. They had another one with short ribs on them. And I was just like,
whoa.
Yeah. So I might have to go back and try that one. But the bangers and rings one was fantastic.
Yeah, I think I had a short rib one somewhere kind of fancy. Maybe Jewel.
Okay.
And you guys are out there living in 2030. I've never heard of any of this.
I mean, I'll always go crabs Benedict number one.
I heard they do them with crab cakes.
You can do them a lot of ways. There's one famous bar in Dewey Beach called the Starboard, and they're kind of famous for their eggs Benedict the next morning, but you get the one and one. So you can get, like, I would always get eggs Delmarva, which was just like lump blue crab meat, the egg and the hollandaise, and then like jerk chicken on the other one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's next level. yeah, I love eggs Benedict. So, it was an awesome little Sunday. And then, both my parents and my grandpa are here. So Tyler and I came and just got a hotel room down the street, at this place called the Indian Wells Hotel and Resort that was started by Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
That was her actual husband. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this place is like, it's a total throwback, but it's like, it's swanky, but like dated, but not in like an old, weird, like decrepit way. It's just like, it's nice. It's fun. It's surprisingly affordable because there's a lot of other newer places right here. But it's been fantastic. There's all these pictures of all the old time entertainers and like all the people playing golf around here. And just like, there's so much history in this place, like maybe even tonight after the cast, but certainly soon I'm just going to get really baked and go walk around and look at all the pictures and read all the little captions about the stuff. But
nice
little staycation mode going on right now. So, right. Yeah, having a nice week.
All right, good. That explains the chair you're in.
The chair I'm in, the spotty Wi-Fi at the start when I had to switch over to my cell phone's hotspot.
It's all coming together.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cob topic.
Cob topic.
All right. Ted mentioned Nelly earlier, and, weirdly, like a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about a chain letter. You guys remember those things? Where somebody would send you something
and you'd send, like, oh, if you don't send people
to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have awful luck or awful sex or whatever. Yeah. I remember one time one of those like really stressed me out and I was like working hard on like trying to send it. Those were huge for a minute. So, cop topic this week is sort of along those lines, which is, what is something from like the early 2000s that no longer exists? Feel free to email us, literally the word email, EMAIL at thepodcast@2e's.com. What is something from the early 2000s that no longer exists? And jumping in before you guys, AOL Instant Messenger. It probably still is out there, but I love
it. Okay. AOL Instant Messenger was one I was thinking of. The first thing that popped into my head was poking people on Facebook.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Wow. Dude, the original internet flirting.
Yeah, man. The other low-hanging fruit, you said early 2000s, right?
Yep.
Not late 90s? So, yeah, not just MySpace. MySpace bands. Like, I discovered some awesome bands in the MySpace days where it was this wild thing where you could discover up and coming bands from other parts of the country from a new way other than like going to the shows in your hometown and knowing the local people coming up in the scene. And, Avenged Sevenfold is really big that day. Ted, I know you knew the End Ever After guys or hung out with them a couple of times when they came through town and like,
yeah, man,
Airborne got huge in that era. And there was just like, yeah, there was a real, like, real cool hub of bands that, like, grew to prominent. Bring Me the Horizon came from the MySpace age. I didn't really listen to them back then, but, like, yeah, it's, it was just a fun time to be trying to discover new music with MySpace in the early 2000s.
I also kind of respect on MySpace that, like, you set your top eight. Like, you let your friends know exactly where they stood with
you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? I mean, that was fun. I mean,
no ambiguity. Like,
so
it is what it is. Here we are.
right? Like, damn, man, he didn't put me in the top eight. Like, nah, dude.
So
you ain't top eight.
Yeah. I put all bands.
Number 13.
I put all bands, but only because I wasn't in eight other people's top eights. And I wasn't gonna put someone in mine that I wasn't in theirs. That was not a game I was ready to play.
Yeah,
that's fair. I never had MySpace.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it's just like Facebook is now. That's why I always laugh when Facebook became public. Like, you got to get Facebook. Like, what's the difference between that and MySpace? It's like Facebook's more professional. Or somebody being like, it's just nice. And it's like, yeah, have you been on Facebook lately? It's the same thing. You have like, what, 9 people on your friends list I could see? Like, it's the same crap. You just don't have like music in your banners playing when I get on there. But yeah, it's all the same stuff. But yeah. Top eight, man. You could lift a brother up or you could put him down. We were setting a tone.
Sending a message.
All right. I double booked, so we'll be off next week. We'll be back the week after that. I would tell everybody.
You double booked us?
I did, man. Because I
7 long years. Too many times.
When did Tuesdays at 7:30 become a time?
Wow. Wow. I just, on behalf of everyone listening, wow. Wow, Tim Smith. You son of a bitch.
I know. What a sellout. Other than that, for this weekend, go Bengals. I hate Stan Kroenke. The hell with the Rams. Go Bengals. Enjoy Super Bowl Sunday, man. Have some chips, dip, like get it all in, man. Enjoy it. All right. For MCTP, for Cobb, and the Ted Smith, this is the podcast. Cheers.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.